Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. No matter what you have been told, New Beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we are here every Wednesday at 7 p.m., and we do thank you for tuning in. For those of you who are listening for the first time, we're an interactive Bible study. What does that mean? That means that when the speaker comes on, and we have different speakers that come from various parts of the state, when they come on. If you could please mute your phone or mute whatever device that you're using, would you please mute it? And we leave all of the lines open, so all you have to do is just talk rather than you having to hit number one on your phone, and then we will open up the mic. We find this a little easier when you can just talk. Amen. We all here praising the Lord together, and we do thank you for being a part of that. We are the body of Christ. Amen. And we thank you for being a part of this evening. As we move forward, for those of you who are listening by internet, the call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. Once you call in, you can participate in the discussion if you choose to, or you can just listen and be fed, amen, with the by the word of God. We also like to, what do we leave out? Also, this you can archive any message that we have, amen. If you want to go and share this with your friend, hear this message, or you can hear any of the messages that's been on, and they're over like 300. But anyhow, nevertheless, you can go into Blog Talk Radio. And once you go into Blog Talk Radio, type in We Can Begin Again. Once you type in We Can Begin Again, you have an opportunity of hearing or choosing or selecting any message. Amen. And we're looking forward to the message that God has placed on the pastor's heart this evening. He's from out of Pastor C.A. Miles, Reginald C.A. Miles, and he's from out of New Milford, New Jersey. Amen. And he always comes with an impact word. Amen. And we do thank him for taking the time to come on to participate and be a part of this. Before we move over into New Jersey, we do ask that we have a few people that are asking for prayer, and that is Tara from out of South Carolina. She's asking for prayer for her daughter. We are praying for Corey out of Charlotte. We are praying for the Hobbs family. We're praying for Bill out of Cleveland. We're praying for Pastor Robinson. My goodness, there is a plethora of people that we have in prayer, and you know what that's all about. Whenever we're going through our trials and tribulation, there's always someone that we should be lifting up in prayer, amen? Not just ourselves, but we should be lifting others up in prayer. After I finish this prayer, then we're going to move over into New Jersey. Father, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for being our refuge. We thank you, Heavenly Father, and we ask that you would let us never be ashamed to lift up the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that in your righteousness we are delivered, and we thank you for that. Incline our ear, Heavenly Father, and our heart, Heavenly Father, as you rescue us for whatever we're going through. Father, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for being the stronghold of our lives, and we ask, Heavenly Father, that each and every time we move closer to you, Heavenly Father, we're moving towards salvation. Father, we ask you that right now in the time that we are asking for prayer, Heavenly Father, that you would come and see about those, Heavenly Father, that are asking for prayer, those who have named publicly, and there are those who are naming those in prayer for privately. And Father, we ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would just bless them. Bless them, Heavenly Father. Bless their heart. Bless their courage, Heavenly Father, as they stand by their loved ones or whomever they're praying for. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you bless them in a mighty way. Father, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for being a God of all times, a God who sits high and a God who looks low. Father, we thank you for being that almighty God. We know that, Father, with you we can do all things, and without you we can do nothing. And we also know, Father, and we believe within our hearts that when prayers go up, blessings come. We thank you for that blessing. We thank you for the victory right now. We thank you for those who we pray for. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are working on them and working through them and working out their situations, whatever it may be, right now, in the majestic name of Jesus. We claim it by faith. Amen. Pastor Miles, are you there?
Yes, Brother Moderator, I'm here. I just made it in not too long ago. God bless.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Pastor Miles is... we do thank him for he is just getting in for work, and he is a timely pastor. He believes in doing things on time. So even though with all the traffic and everything, God has allowed him to be able to be on the airways in a timely manner. We do thank God for that. Pastor Miles, I'm going to move out of the way, and we're going to let you take over in New Jersey. We thank you again for blessing the body of Christ this evening.
Well, thank you once again, Brother Moderator, for having me on. And, yes, I did get my way home from work today. As I said before, the Lord has really has his hand on me right now in this time and season of my life. He's actually showing me how he has just set things up for me. And by my obedience to him, I'm seeing things now that he had done in the past that I didn't see where it was going. I just went on and did it. And just did what as he would have me to do. And things have really even took place back in when I was actually in my early 20s when I was in the military. And some of that information and wisdom and knowledge it's actually paying off for me right now on my new job. And even every job that I had after that, the Federal Express job, the cable television job, the cable investment, credit card investment job, all of that's coming to pass. And what has came to pass, and it's blessing me on this new job right now. So one thing I've learned to understand throughout this season right now, whatever you were going through or whatever you've been through, and it seems like that, you know, you did that which was right and the people did not want you around. Whatever you do, listen to me well. Listen to me well when I say this. You may be hurt. You may be upset. But that experience that you're going to get from that, don't badmouth it. Don't put your mouth on it in a bad way. Take the experience and move on. Because I'm living proof that God will take those things and will manifest them and show you that those things will come in handy later. Don't badmouth it. Don't criticize it. Because then you'll be cutting off your own blessing. That's just a sidebar. I never even wanted to bring that, but I guess the Lord had me to say that to someone who needed to hear that. But on tonight, I have a message that had been brewing ever since I was a little boy. Did not know it. If you take a look, when Brother Moderator introduced me, C.A. Miles, well, my name is really Reginald A. Miles, Reginald Andre Miles. The C actually comes from my father. My father's no longer with us. He's from labor to reward. He's transitioned on. And my father was very instrumental in my life, getting me back and forth to the church and Sunday school when I was younger. And when I was younger, I never thought that I would actually be one being able to teach the Bible or preach. But as I got older, 11 years old, that's what I wanted to do. And I guess that's what the Lord had put on my life because I'm not seminary trained or nothing. I just burn the midnight oil and ask the Holy Spirit to guide me, and that's what happens. Not putting down any of those who go to school to study. School is good. Say to show yourself approved unto God. Workman, need not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Everybody's path is different. So if that's the path that the Lord has you on, be obedient. I want you to turn in your Bible to the Gospel according to Luke. Chapter 16, and we're going to start reading at verse 19. And after I read that, I'm going to give you the theme in which we're going to speak from, and we're going to expound upon that, and then we're going to open up the microphone so that you can speak on it. I really believe that this is going to bless you. And now I'm reading from the King James text, and I like the King James text. Because the language is strong, and I like a strong language. That way I can actually break it down for myself and to actually help others with that. Verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fed sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried away by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass from us, neither can they pass to us, that would come from hence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would have sent him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophet, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I want to take you back to verse 23. Now, for those who have been listening to Blog Talk Radio and have heard me over the time that I've been here, you know I believe in writing in my Bible. I believe in underlining and highlighting. If you don't have this verse highlighted or underlined or any type of way, verse 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. I want to speak to you from this theme, waking up dead. Waking up dead. Now, this actual term, waking up dead, I got from my father when I was a little boy. Matter of fact, last night, I didn't do something, which was to say I didn't do it in my apartment, which I didn't do sometimes, my brother and I, when we were little boys. We stayed in an apartment complex, and Daddy would get up about 6:30. He would be the first one out the house. And he would go to the doors, and he would go out. And then he would come back inside, and he would wake me and my brother up, and he'd be yelling. He said, how many times I got to tell you boys before you go to bed at night, because we slept in the living room. He said, how many times I got to tell you boys before you go to bed at night, lock these doors? He said, you better go ahead and lock these doors, because one day somebody going to come in here at night and we all going to wake up dead. And I looked at him, being full of the education I thought I had. I said, Dad, how you going to wake up dead? I said, Daddy, you dead, that's it. He said, okay, keep making fun of me. But remember, I'm Daddy, I'm sending you to school. You better lock these doors or we're going to all wake up dead. That happened more than once. So as I got older and I got to reading my Bible, I came across this scripture. And I told it to my mother the other day. And when I said it to my mother, she remembered, she started laughing. How did he used to raise sand so bad about that? Now, I want to run a few things by you before we actually dig deep into this. If you know me, I love music. I do. You can catch me anytime being very random. I just start singing a song. Now, to be honest with you, I can't hold a tune worth nothing, but I believe I'll be making a joyful noise. I really do believe I'll be making a joyful noise. So, but that's something different. But how about there's a song that really speaks to your heart? I mean, something that actually, it relates to you, and you sing it with emphasis. You can tell how somebody is feeling and hurt through their music. One person that they said was Mary J. Blige, you can tell that she makes good music every time she's hurt. Or a good songwriter makes better music when they went through something. And you can actually tell that in the Book of Psalms. Book of Psalms have 150 of them, which is nothing more than lyrics to a song. See, the Book of Psalms is really divided into five divisions. Each psalm is not a division of itself. It's divided into five divisions, five books. Psalms 1 to 41 is one book. 42 to 47 is another. 73 to 89 is another book, which is book 3. You have book 4, Psalms 90 to 106. And 107 to 150 is Psalm. It's book 5. And when you actually read those, you could tell how the writer is feeling at that time. He's writing lyrics to songs. See, lyrics and songs are nothing more than a testimony of somebody's life. Listen to the songs as the experience of that. And I said that to say to the segue into this. There are many people out there who are actually quoting a title of a song by an artist, really a comedian, by Lil Duval. I'm living my best life.
Mm-hmm.
Snoop Dogg is in it, and another little couple artists is in there. And they say, I'm living my best life. What I want to tell you right now, if you do not have Jesus in your life, you're not living your best life. You're living a fantasy.
Amen.
Amen. That's good.
Mm-hmm. People say, oh, I'm living my best life. If Jesus is not in your life, you are not living your best life. You're living a fantasy. And many people don't believe that. So if you do not have Jesus in your life, and you lay down and you go to sleep every night, and you up the next morning,
you're waking up dead. Waking up dead.
I don't think you heard me. I don't think you got it. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and Jesus is not in your life, and you say you are living your best life, every time you go to bed, be it a nap, be it overnight, be it just taking a little sleep in a chair in a barbershop, when you wake up, you are waking up dead. And then when you're going through your life, you're nothing but a dead man walking.
Dead man walking.
Let's look at the text. We have this rich man. Now, there have been many people to say what his name was. I even heard people say that the rich man's name was Dives. Well, Dives was not his name. Dives just simply means rich man. But we do see the name Lazarus. Now, this is not the same Lazarus that Jesus raised from the dead.
That's
okay,
right.
So I want to I want you to get that understanding. Now, this rich man, he wore purple and fine linen, and he fed sumptuously every day. What does that mean? That means he dressed good and he ate well.
He ate well, yeah.
How many times do you see people who do not have Jesus in their life, they dress well and they eating good?
Yeah.
Since you have the material gain, that does not mean that that is a blessing from God. See, we in the church need to understand that everything that you receive through the world, be it the car, be it the house, be it the money in the bank, the CDs, the investments, we many times said, oh, that's a blessing from God, because a lot of times you can get that stuff by robbing folks.
Yeah.
You could be robbing folks in their life. How many times you see these drug dealers out here? And I'm not talking about the one on the corner. I'm talking about the drug kingpin who's standing in the penthouse.
Mm-hmm.
62-inch screen television. I could see him now for breakfast having cube steak, country scrambled eggs, buttermilk biscuit, and pure honey with some home fried potatoes. You know, for dinner, filet mignon with a lobster tail, freshly drawn butter.
Get
and
hungry.
For an appetizer, they got some garlic scallop.
Mm. Ooh,
that don't necessarily mean that they blessed. That
That's
mean
right.
that they just mom. That just mean that they eating good and looking good.
That's it.
See, when you actually have that type of lifestyle, and people know that's the type of lifestyle, to me, that's like putting on deodorant and not washing. You just stinking.
Just stinking.
Natural, spiritually.
So time had passed. Now let's look at the state that Lazarus was in. He was willing to be fed with the crumbs that fell from his table.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean? That means that the rich man gave him nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And he could have helped him. And then the dogs came and licked Lazarus' sores. Even the dogs wasn't getting anything. And scripture says, doesn't the dog, I think it's Matthew 15:27, and maybe Mark 7:28, where I think it's the Canaanite woman had asked Jesus for a blessing. And she even told Jesus, even the dogs could eat from the master's table for the crumbs to fall on the floor. So not only was this rich man eating good, dressing good, he won't even share anything, and he was greedy.
Mm-hmm.
Remind me of the barn building fool. Let me tell these bars down the bill up and take a look at what I got. But you see, time had passed, because they thought he was living his best life. So Lazarus died, and he died. Now, he actually died, and he went to Hades, or went to, let's call it hell.
Mm-hmm.
Because the scripture said, in hell he lifted up his eyes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Now watch this now. Watch this. He had already died. He was dead.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's in hell, and he woke up dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somebody got it.
Woke up.
I got it.
Yeah.
Now, he lived a whole life waking up dead. Then when he finally died,
he woke up dead.
He woke up dead.
Yeah.
Now, Lazarus died, and he woke up. But he didn't wake up dead. How many of us are going to bed, don't have Christ in our life, and we waking up dead? How many people saying, oh, I'm living my best life, waking up dead? Then he has the audacity to go to Abraham.
Yeah.
Now the one that I didn't treat right, I want you to send that one over here so I can get some relief.
Boy.
See, what comes around goes around.
Yeah.
See, watch how you treat people when you live in your best life.
Life, there you go. There you go.
See, one thing that I've always said to people, and Brother Moderator could attest to this, see, as long as the thing is well with me, I'm checking on you. Now, I've said that many times and times before here on Blog Talk. As long as things is well with me, I'm going to check on you. Now, things were well with him, but he decided not to check on him. Genesis 40, verse 14, if you want a scriptural reference, when I'm talking about things as well with me, I'm going to check on you. Go on and read the 40th chapter book of Genesis. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about waking up dead. You're living your best life. Mm-hmm. Christ's not in your life. Now he wants someone who he didn't treat right to come and help him out there.
Mm-hmm.
He says no. But now I want you to look at this. I want you to look at this very carefully. Abraham was basically saying, I'm going to paraphrase the scripture, even if I could send, even if I wanted to send him, I can't. Because there's a great gulf.
There you go. Yeah.
Like the song Michael Jackson say, it's too high to get over and too low to get under. You're stuck in the middle.
Too
wide to go around. Now look at this. This is something that you have to look at the scripture to pick out. The rich man could see Lazarus. But I have yet to look in the scripture to see if Lazarus could see him.
That's a good point.
He could see Lazarus, but Lazarus couldn't see him. I'm reminded of something that I was told many years ago. When the saints, the true saints, get in, we all know one another. But the ones who we had fellowship with and who don't make it in, we won't remember them no more.
True.
We won't remember them no more. So I believe that that falls along with the scenario right here. So for those who bust hell wide open, and for those of us who actually make it through the gate, we won't remember them as if they never existed.
Amen. That's right.
Now, the rich man died, woke up dead. Now he wants some help. Too late
they
now, Joker. You dead. See, if you go to bed now and you wake up, see, we got a chance now to get this thing right.
Yes, talk.
We got this chance right now to get it right. This just hit me in my spirit right now. If you got your Bibles, Lord, I'm trusting you. Hebrews 9:27. And that is it appointed unto men once to die. And after that,
judgment.
Guess what? That's a no return policy. That's a no return policy. Then he has said, okay, well, let's do this. Send Lazarus to my father's house. You know, I got some brothers. He said, no. Let them hear Moses and the prophets. He said, because if one said from dead, they're not going to listen to him because they know he dead. See, God has already sent the preacher. How can they hear unless a preacher be sent? So you can take heed to this portion of scripture right here that says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torment. I can't fathom being tortured forever. How many times do you plan on waking up dead? Last night.
Good question.
I went to bed. I got in here from work. And I rushed in. I got me something to eat. And I closed my door. And I went onto my bedroom after I ate and I went to sleep. And there was many different things that was on my mind. It's like, you know, maybe I'm going to, Lord, you're going to have me present something different on Blog Talk Radio on tomorrow night. I said, I'm open for you. And then I turned around when I got up and I grabbed my briefcase and grabbed my lunch and hit the door. And I took a look at my door and I stopped dead in my tracks. And both locks were unlocked on my door. I said, see, it was a possibility I could have woke up dead. Just like my father said, somebody could have came in here. Now, I have a relationship with the Almighty. I truly believe that I'm going to go to the judgment seat. And if you go to the judgment seat of Christ, if you find yourself after you pass away and you go from labor to reward and you find yourself at the judgment seat of Christ, you need to start smiling. And you may say, why? Because you'd have made it in. This is a matter of your reward. Now, you have that white judgment. Now you're thinking. You're going to have some problems. Oh, it's mighty quiet on the line tonight.
Well, all right, preacher.
No, it's good. It's good. We're listening. It's good.
So, I present to you, all you have to do is give your life to Christ. Now, let's think about it. When Christ died, he didn't wake up dead. He woke up from the dead. With all power in his hand.
That's good.
So if you believe in Christ, he rose up, not dead, woke up, rose up from the dead, by the power of his Father, and you accept him on tonight, when you lay down tonight, you wake up. If you haven't accepted him, you're not waking up dead. You're waking up alive to the Spirit.
New beginning.
Oh, see? Huh? New beginnings are not for who? Just the young.
Not just for the young.
As long as you have breath in your body right now, all you got to do is accept Christ. Don't let when you lay down tonight and you fall asleep and you should have to be called from labor to reward and you open your eyes from hell because you say you live in your best life. I've heard first ladies of married to a pastor said, I'm living my best life. But the life that you're living outside the church is contrary to scripture. Are you really living your best life or are you living a fantasy? I've heard ministers, I'm living my best life, but it's contrary to scripture. Are you living your best life or are you living a fantasy? Because if Christ is not in your life, you're living a fantasy. And see, fantasies are fairy tales. And they do come to an end.
Fiction.
They do come to an end. What is that one that came to an end? I know it from a male's perspective because it was a song. I think it's Cinderella. They called it Cinderella Dana Dana. It was a rap song that was in the 80s. Ain't that the young lady with the shoe with the pumpkin and she had to wash all the clothes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scrub
so,
on the floor.
Yeah, and she had a fairy tale. And it came to an end.
Yeah, it's out of here.
You don't have Christ in your life? You eating good, you wearing good clothes, you got the finest thing that money can buy. You live in a fantasy.
Boy.
And every time you go to bed, close your eyes and you wake up, you're waking up dead. That's all I have for you on tonight. It was just something just to make you think.
That's good.
I'm gonna open up the microphone on tonight, and if anybody wants to add, please do so.
That's good. How you doing, Reverend Miles?
I'm doing good, preacher. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir. I'm sitting here. Let me speak to everybody else on the line, too. It's good to hear from everybody. But I'm sitting here listening, man. And, you know, that is something we don't get all the time. It's the truth about the scripture. We don't a lot of preachers and a lot of ministers, a lot of teachers. They don't do the salvation. They don't tell people the truth. And what you're saying tonight is the absolute truth. When you started reading that text, I started quoting it. Because that was one of my favorite stories in the Bible, in the New Testament, is about Lazarus and the rich man. And I think I preached that message at one point, and I preached that the shoe was on the other foot.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about how the rich man lived and how Lazarus lived. And you know, people live like that every day. Every day, just as you said, and I'm going to repeat it, just as you said, people live like that every day. They live the good life. They live thinking that, boy, everything is hunky-dory, everything is fine and dandy, everything is lovely, but you're living without Christ. And as you said, I remember when you said that, a dead man walking, you know, My mind immediately went to the movie The Green Mile.
Mm-hmm.
As I thought about that, I thought about, you know what? He was walking toward his death. He was walking to his death, and he was what they were saying is he was already dead.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're saying is similar to the same thing, is that if you don't have Christ in your life, you're already dead. So when you go to bed at night and you're waking up, and the next morning you're waking up dead.
Yeah.
You're dead. You're dead without Christ in your life. And I just wanted to point that out and let you know, man, that's always been a powerful text to me, always been. And I like the part you said there's a great gulf fixed. When he said there's a great gulf fixed between, you know, and with people these days, there is a great gulf fixed between them and God. They can't get there because they won't accept Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, let me say this, and I'll go. They accept God, but they won't accept Christ. That's another topic there. I like what you're saying, brother. I really do. Something we don't get all the time.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We got somebody else out there?
Amen, Pastor Miles. God bless you. This is Edna from Long Island, New York.
I'm planning to see y'all soon.
God bless you, sir. Listen, I enjoyed this message. It's well taken because, just like the pastor said, we need this. You know, the people on the airway and the body of Christ, we need this. Because sometimes we're just pacified about prosperity and different things like that. And all that is well and all that is good, but it's like you brought that scripture about, you know, about it is appointed to men to once die and then next the judgment. It's so true, so true. And I found this word to be encouraging and a warning. A warning to those of us who's thinking that they're living their best life. Really, they're not living life. Because life that is the best thing is life abundantly with Christ. And I was thinking about what you were saying about dead man walking. How will we go into eternity? And God gave me this a long while ago, DOA. Are we going to enter eternity dead on arrival, DOA? Or are we going to enter eternity delivered on account because we accepted Jesus Christ? And that's what we need to do tonight. Who don't have Jesus Christ, we need to enter into eternity delivered on account because Jesus went to the cross for us to have life and that more abundantly. That more abundantly. We can't just think that we're so naturally fat, and that's what it is. We're so naturally fat, and like you said, people are dressing well and eating well, but they're spiritually starved. They don't even realize that they're spiritually disconnected, and God wants us connected. And you know something, as you were talking, I was thinking how God is so merciful. We will never have to say, or no one will ever have to say, that they never knew or they didn't have a chance.
That's
God
right.
has always
That's
given
right.
us a chance
That's
for a new beginning.
Right. Yeah.
And I heard a brother on another line say this, because he was a serviceman as well. And before he got his life together, he was homeless. His mother was always praying for him, homeless, eating out of garbage cans and all this stuff. But he said he had a second chance to live a first-class life when he accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. And I'm done. This was a powerful message. It was a timely message, because we need to know that after this, everybody's putting their time in about life. Yeah, get it, get it. We got to do this. And that's true. God wants us to have a beautiful life here on earth. But after this, we can't take all that we accomplish, all that we generated, we can't take it with us. So we have to prepare for the next life as well. God wants us to have a total of balance. I enjoyed this, Pastor. It was great.
Thank you, man.
I think I talked too much, but it was great.
You fed me. So no, you can never talk too much when you're talking about the Lord. But
great.
I want to run two more things by you.
Come on with it.
When talking about the dead man walking.
Yeah.
When you have a man that's on death row.
Yeah.
One of the things that they do, they ask him, "You got any final words?"
Yeah.
And see, a lot of them wanted to be designed to say that I did it, I apologize, I have remorse, and this, that, and the third. But there have been some, since there's nothing new under the sun, that says, "I commit my life to Christ.
Yes.
Forgive me for my sins."
Yes.
Because many of them understand that they were already a dead man walking, and in hell they don't
already
lift up their eyes.
Already, that's right.
Lift up their eyes.
Now, as I told you earlier, my father would take me to Bible study and Bible study, Sunday school, and get us to church and bring us back. And I called myself a PK growing up because of my great uncle, the late Reverend Clarence Merritt. I stayed up under him. But when I got my little taste of freedom, scripture says I was in his hand and no one could pluck him out. But the scripture doesn't talk about how I could just walk out. I'm in a tank. No one can pluck me out, but I could walk out.
Yeah.
And when I was 25 years old, I did just that. And when I was 20, I got my new car for my birthday. And I had myself, I called myself the chocolate Romeo with the put the little cocoa butter on myself to bring out my deep chocolate skin.
Okay.
And said I was a little dark Milky Way candy bar. And had a different girl every day of the week.
Oh my, living your best life, huh?
Living my best life. And had two on Sunday. Had one in the morning and one at night in the main squeeze I would see on Sunday.
Mm-mm-mm.
Thought I was living my best life.
Yeah.
And every time when I thought I was doing that and I woke up, I was waking up dead.
Yes. Yes.
Because I had went on over. Sir.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
As I was actually on a retrobate mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then it took the Lord to get my attention because I was driving in Denver, Colorado, going back to Colorado Springs on Interstate 225, doing 70 on ice.
Oh, God had
and
you.
If that tractor trailer would have hit me in hell, I believed I would have lifted up my eyes. So for those of you who are listening, or those of you who know someone that needs to hear this message, I submit to you, read the scripture, turn on back to Blog Talk Radio. Because if you don't have Christ, you're not living your best life. But when you accept him, because he will give you life more abundantly, more than you can think I have. Bro, preach, as you were saying, before I turn it over.
Yes. I was. Again, this is Reverend Robinson out of Tennessee. I was listening to you, and as you were sharing about your life, and the scripture came to me. The Lord just dropped this in my spirit to let you know that, and I'm sure you already know, but I want to remind you that the Bible says that to train up a child in the way that he should go.
Uh-huh.
And when he is old, he won't depart from it. So I was sharing with a guy at work today about that. And I said, so what do you get from that? And he couldn't give me an answer. I said, now listen, what God is saying is that when you get off the road of righteousness, because we do that in life, we come up in church, we go through our emotions, we go through our thrills and spills in life, but on our way back, or should I say, we know our way back, is what I'm trying to say. And I just thank God that you knew your way back. Even though you came up in church, up under your father and up under your uncle or whomever it was that took you to church and brought you up, and you got off on the wrong path, you knew how to get back.
You knew
how to get back. And I just thank God that, and just for this message tonight, I thank God that you got back on the right track. I just want to say that. I just want to.
And I just want to bounce off and just say this last thing. Those that are listening in radio land or internet, even though you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, because there's many that do, you got to go on from there. You got to have a personal relationship, an intimate relationship with him. Because there's a lot of people out there said, oh, thank you, Jesus, and I know God, I know Jesus, and I know God. But you know what? What's going to make the difference? Your personal relationship.
Your relationship. Yes.
You got to go deeper than just saying, I know Jesus, and thank you, Jesus, for blessing me. They forget that the sun rises and sets on the just, and the well is the unjust.
That's right.
You know? So we have to know that it's more than just knowing Jesus, but having a personal relationship. And one thing, God is so merciful that even in that last walk in the mile in the jailhouse or wherever, God is yet so merciful, because when he says, if whoever calls on the name of the Lord in that instant, just like the thief on the cross, he shall be saved. He shall be saved. Isn't God merciful? He gives us mercy even at the last moment. If you call upon the name of, we don't want to be at the last moment, don't get me wrong, but if in fact it happens, his word never goes back void. He always says, he that calls on the name of Jesus, the same shall be saved. I'm done. I'm saying, I love it. I love it. We won't wake up. We won't be waking up dead. We'll be waking up alive in Jesus Christ. This was a great word, sir. Thank you. God bless you.
And I'll look at that from now on when I wake up. I'll remember how I'm waking up from now on.
Delivered on account.
Yeah, because I tell you, there's some times that I'll lay in my bed and I'll pray, and then I'll have some dreams. That I know that the devil is firing thoughts in me, and I'll be like, no, and I wake up out my sleep. I said, you're not getting this here. And I just start anoint myself and start praying, because one thing because when you are actually asleep, they say that's a form of death.
Oh yeah.
Say you're not gonna get me, nor my family, or know anybody I'm associated with.
Amen.
This was great, sir. This was great.
So now make sure when you go to bed tonight, you lock your doors. I love you all in the name of Jesus. If all hearts and minds are clear, I'm going to hand it on over to Brother Moderator. And don't worry, y'all, I ain't cooking tonight. I'm going to have me a sandwich. Not a sandwich, a sandwich. Brother Moderator, it's on you.
God bless you,
God
sir.
Bless. God bless.
God bless you. God bless you, Pastor Miles.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Miles, we do thank you for reminding us that the body of Christ or the believers, we can't get lost. We can't get lost. We can't lose our way. We can't forget about, where we're going, why we're here, and where we're going. Because in the end, it's all about eternal life, getting an eternal life. And it's what we do here on earth. And I just want to add on to this, in terms of how we are living our life. They say living the life. Now the term is living the dream. That's the language that now, I'm living the dream. And if you don't have Christ in your life, how are you living the dream? How are you living the dream? So that was definitely timely. There are a lot of people on and have not said anything, or commented, so I think they're just being fed. But, we have to be reminded. We have to be reminded on our walk and our journey to make sure. And the bottom line is caring for the poor. Those who are less fortunate. That's the bottom line. We can't forget about that. Or otherwise, it doesn't make, you could have a little bit. But if you're not using that to help the poor or caring for the poor, then you could be rich according to them. You could be rich according to them. And what makes that doesn't make you any different than what we just heard. We look at it as having a lot of money. Okay, but you can have a little bit of money and holding on to it, but not helping those who are less fortunate, not helping those who are the poor, not helping those who are in need. That is our purpose. If the arm is hurting and the leg is hurting, we are the body of Christ.
Amen.
And the head is Jesus Christ. And we are supposed to care for the rest of the body. Mm-hmm. And that's what that plan is all about. That we all make it in as one body, not separate, but as one body. So I do want to thank you more than anything else for just reminding us of that plan of salvation, reminding us of who we are and what our purpose is, because it's easy, again, to get lost. and end up dead or walking dead.
Yeah.
Or dead man walking,
mm-hmm.
as you say.
Oh,
they took their life. So I do thank you for that. For those of you who are listening online, we thank you for tuning in. Keep in mind, remind you that you can go to the archives and you can share this with a friend. Listen. It is easy to go to your friends, go to your family, and they reject, and they can reject you.
Yeah.
They can reject the word of God, reject Christ, simply because
mm-hmm.
they don't believe. They don't believe. So I think that is awesome. Thank you so much. For those of you who listen, we'd like to invite you back next week. We are on at 7 o'clock. We do invite you back once again. Pastor Miles, we do bless you. We pray that the word will continually be in your mouth as you continue to walk forward for God, for Christ. Okay, Pastor Robinson, we look forward to hearing you on the line. Okay?
Sure.
Keep that in mind.
All right.
Okay. Remember, we love that. God loves you most. May God bless you.
God bless.
Let's stand in his honor tonight, everybody that can get on your feet.
Okay.
To him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. To the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We bless him tonight. Everybody lift your hands just for a moment. Come on. Let's lift it up to him right now.
To him.